Well, it is a delight to be here, like legit, like for real. And that dang worship leader went a few minutes over, so I was having an internal conversation with him. And those of you that are old enough, do you remember the Flintstones cartoon? You know, and there were those a few episodes where there was like Demon Fred on one shoulder and Angel Fred on the other, and they were kind of like arguing inside his head. So, with permission, I'll go just a little past 10, but I'll be careful, and the kids will be released at whatever they need to be. Is that okay? My humble. Doesn't quite work that way. We'll roll, and I'll just be very conscious of the time. It is Pentecost Sunday, isn't it? And it's kind of cool to be here on this day. I think something that is deep in us in the vineyard, of course, is the come Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on his disciples after his death, and then he ascended and he said, just wait, like the Spirit's going to come again. And then the Spirit came again as gatherers and followers of Jesus just over and over. So it's a really kind of almost weird part of our understanding. But the Spirit comes in waves. And I don't know if you're familiar. Was he in Chicago? Was D.L. Moody in Chicago? Yeah, D.L. Moody, if you know that name, he would always say, we need to ask for the Spirit again and again because we leak. And so on this Pentecost day, let's just take a moment at the risk of not doing things the way they're done here and just open our hands again and let's say together, come Holy Spirit. Can you say that with me? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. If you look on the screen, you see just some artwork from over the centuries of Spirit descending on this day. Just kind of take a look. Colors are vibrant. What are you feeling right now? Some of you might be sensing the Holy Spirit in your bodies. Others of you are just, you know, you're hanging on. I don't know what's going on here, but you know what? I could believe this. Wherever we're at in this space, there was something incredible that was taking place when the Spirit descended and came promised by Jesus. And if you remember the story, we're not going to have time to unpack this whole text, but all kinds of stuff was happening. And here was the experience. And I find this happening to me a lot when the Holy Spirit is present. It says in Acts 2:12, their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. And they talked back and forth, confused. What's going on here? Do you ever find yourself asking that question, particularly when the Spirit is turning stuff upside down? It might be an internal work. It could be something that you're observing in community. It could be something that the Lord is doing and generating in culture and society all around us. What's going on here? What's going on with the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost? What is happening? What is taking place? This is a really great question. And I'm just going to pull on one of the threads, just one of the threads of what the Lord was doing. But remember, there was like a wind, wasn't there? Then there was fire. Was the fire actually in the room? Was it in sort of mass open vision? The scripture isn't super clear, but whatever was happening, this combination of a sense of wind, which they actually did hear because that caused crowds of people to come running, and this experience of fire birthed something that had never existed on the planet before. You know what it was? What you see in this room right now. Something impossible. that people actually started speaking in a way that they could actually understand each other. And this wasn't just about translation. I've traveled enough to know that just translating words, even if you're really, really good at it, can end up in some of the most bizarre misunderstandings cross-culturally. Are you aware of that? It's like it's happened all the time. I went to Nepal some years ago for the first time. I've been back and forth there. There's now an association of vineyard churches all throughout the Himalayan region. I don't know if you know that, in Nepal and Northeast India. But I thought I was doing a really good thing. There was a sale on at a sports store. Have you ever seen the Boca Sports Company? B-O-C-A. I don't know if they're even still around anymore. But I got 8 t-shirts on sale, and I thought I was doing this awesome thing. And I'm speaking in front of my first time in front of a bunch of Nepali believers and everything. And they're giggling and laughing and everything. And I thought I was making some major cross-cultural faux pas or something. And my buddy, Shara Bhutia, who's now the national director of the Association of Vineyard Churches there. I said, dude, what's going on? He says, okay, I got to tell you this. Boca, see, the Nepali language what's that word? When the letters translate right across to the sound, it's a phonetic language, so it just comes right across. So Boca is actually a word in Nepali, but it's a slang word, and it means a horny old goat. Now, I wasn't as old as I am then right now, but and the other word they used it for, it was the stud pig that they would take around to the villages to impregnate the pigs to get the sows for the whatever. So to this day, with our vineyard friends in Nepal, I sign all my emails Boca. But it's but like translation can like be really strange, but embedded in the text is this thing. They understood each other. They didn't just hear words. And something miraculous happened. A new social order began to emerge that was complete in diversity and robust in unity. A community that emerged that walked together, lived together, loved together. And it was a community of hope. Hope came in the world because Jesus keeps us here and leads us here.
There are many words for hope in the ancient languages of the Bible, and they're all fascinating. In the Old Testament, there are 2 main Hebrew words translated as hope. The first is yachal, which means simply to wait for. Like in the story of Noah and the Ark, as the flood waters recede, Noah had to yachal for weeks. The other Hebrew word is kava, which also means to wait. It's related to the Hebrew word kav, which means cord. When you pull a kav tight, you produce a state of tension until there's release. That's kava, the feeling of tension and expectation while you wait for something to happen. The prophet Isaiah depicts God as a farmer who plants vines and kavas for good grapes. Or the prophet Micah talks about farmers who both kava and yachal for morning dew to give moisture to the land. So in biblical Hebrew, hope is about waiting or expectation. Biblical hope is based on a person, which makes it different from optimism. Optimism is about choosing to see in any situation how circumstances could work out for the best. But biblical hope is not focused on circumstances. In fact, hopeful people in the Bible often recognize there's no evidence things will get better, but you choose hope anyway.
That's
like
pretty crazy,
Hosea.
Huh?
He lived in a dark time when Israel was being oppressed by foreign empires, and he chose hope when he said God could turn this valley of trouble into a door of hope, like the day when Israel came up from the land of Egypt. God had surprised his people with redemption back in the days of the Exodus, and he could do so again. So it's God's past faithfulness that motivates hope for the future. You look forward by looking backward, trusting in nothing other than God's character.
Can you hear that?
In the New Testament, the earliest followers of Jesus cultivated the similar habit of hope. They believed that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection was God's surprising response to our slavery to evil and death. The empty tomb opened up a new door of hope. And they use the Greek word elpis to describe this anticipation. The Apostle Peter said that Jesus' resurrection opened up a living hope, that people can be reborn, to become new and different kinds of humans. More than once, the Apostle Paul says the good news about Jesus announces the El Peace of glory. In both cases, this El Peace is based on a person, the risen Jesus, who has overcome death.
Yes,
and this
God.
Hope wasn't just for humans. The
yes.
apostles believed that what happened to Jesus in the resurrection was a foretaste of what God had planned for the whole universe.
Think about
in Paul's
this.
Words, it's a hope that creation itself will be liberated from slavery
wow.
to corruption into freedom when God's children are
wow.
glorified. And some would say it's crazy, and maybe it is. But biblical hope isn't optimism based on the odds. It's a choice to wait for God to bring about a future that's as surprising as a crucified man rising
oh,
from the dead.
Yes, Lord.
Christian hope looks back to the risen Jesus in order to look forward. And so we wait.
Let's just open our hands again. Fill us with hope. Teach us to wait. Let's look at the screen again. If you can keep your eyes closed if you want, but this waiting posture for the Spirit. Anticipation, expectation, and for us in the Vineyard communities, not just waiting for what is coming, but audaciously believing that what is the fullness of the future will break in surprising and wonderful and freeing ways in this moment. But yet, we walk in suffering. We walk in these places, and the blessing of God is with us in the fullness of this whole journey. As Pastor Ted was saying earlier, the restoring work of God that we are all a part of. A little further in the book of Acts, if you remember, Peter is just launched into this crazy sermon, just out of the presence and power of the Lord. Something that sometimes we miss in the text, it says that all the other disciples were standing around him and with him. Preaching is never just an individual sport. It's a community. It's one voice maybe, but it's giving voice to a whole community of people. Willie Jennings, a brilliant African-American theologian, makes this notation about this text that Peter is not just standing alone. He's standing with all the other 11, and they are proclaiming. And one of the things Peter says in the midst of this, all this wind and fire, he says, here's what's happening. Here's a piece of what's going on. God untied the death ropes and raised him, Jesus, up. Death was no match for him. If you can, read this next section with me.
David.
Look at that. Does that jump out at you? I mean, this just grips me. I've pitched my tent in the land of hope. The Spirit of God is with me. He's in me. The Son of God has never left me or forsaken me. The Father is always at work. And if I have eyes to see and a heart to believe, I can engage with the works of the kingdom right now. And sometimes the work of the kingdom is just the laborious, stenching, difficult work of cleansing a leper. And other times it's seeing someone just jump up from even a deathbed. Both and as we walk in journey, and on this journey, we pitch our tent in the land of hope. God untied the death ropes and raised Jesus. Death was no match for him. Not just his own death, but my death. Not just his own death, but the death of war and famine and disease, the death of the soul. The death of the anxiety that is upon us, the stress, the hopelessness, he has defeated it all. Willing Jennings, again, this Jesus reveals not only the destiny of Israel's God, but the divine identity, the cosmic, the universal, the great and mighty, not only has revealed in this one, but more shockingly, this Jesus reveals the great and mighty, the universal, the cosmic, the God who is greater than death. We are a people of hope. As we heal the sick, as we cast out demons, as we bind up each other's wounds, as we carry each other's burdens, as we serve food right out of the hallway, right behind me here, to the poor and the destitute and those that are in need, we are declaring that death has not won and it does not have the final say. Jesus Christ does. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now alive. Dead, but risen. Death that brings life. The great contradiction, and this is the contradiction inside of which all the disciples of Jesus will live forever. I've pitched my tent in the land of hope. Say that with me. I pitched my tent in the land of hope. Hebrews 6. We who have run for our very lives to God every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, has taken up his permanent post as high priest for us. Let's say it. I've pitched my tent in the land of hope. Look at that. 2 minutes after 10. Boom. So the Spirit's here. Come, Holy Spirit. What hope are you bringing into the room right now? Hope for someone's healing, hope for... Where's Andrew? Oh my goodness, dude. I don't want to just like freak you out or anything, but man, this guy, is it the first time he sang in the worst time or first time with this group? First time with the worship team? Like ever? With this group. Not in this church. Okay, see, now we need the Holy Spirit to come and help us understand each other. This is like a perfect example of lost in translation. Okay, but never in this space. Can we just reach out our hand? Pray, do you mind standing? You don't have to stand. And dude, like honestly, communal discernment, everybody's got a way. But brother, I just want to thank you. I don't know if you know this. He lost his mom in February. And his dad, some years ago, his girlfriend left him. And dude, you are standing here. Pray, just the sound coming out of you, man. I know you were nervous. I know you were anxious. So we reach out our hands. Lord, for Andrew and for all of us here, thank you for the Evanston Vineyard. Thank you that he's found a home here since 2007 or whatever it was. Would you make this a home of hope, a place of healing? As Pastor Ted said, a house of peace and shalom. We had pizza for lunch yesterday, and Andrew had a bunch of pieces he was going to take home, and I was following him out of the parking lot, and all of a sudden, whatever car he was in stops, and Andrew jumps out and gives his pizza just to someone just sitting there who needed some food. That's worship. It's that act that gave you the sound that happened on the stage today. So let's wait. Come, Holy Spirit.